It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. It's a time where we take a look at the stories that we're following in the Lakeville Journal and that you'll find in the Lakeville Journal. We don't cover every single story. We cover a lot of the stories, but of course the Lakeville Journal is available at tricornernews.com, at newsstands, and also via home delivery. I get home delivery because I do the digital edition, which I appreciate. And Jill, she likes the old-fashioned hold it in your hand paper version. But anyways, let's welcome in Janet Manco. Janet, you there? No, she's not.
Please hang up and call again. If you need assistance, dial the operator.
Pat, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, we're going to try Janet once again here. All right.
It was too good to be true, Marshall.
Oh, no. Wow.
What?
We have a problem today. There, that's better. All right. Okay. We'll see if this works. I'm sure it will. Second time around.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right.
There she is.
There she is. We have Janet Manco and we have Patrick Sullivan. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
It is time for a look at, as we said, this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia has the morning off. And we'll start off with the front page and with you, Patrick. The Salisbury Winter Sports Association went through three different seasons in 3 days last week. A 70-degree day, a rainy 40-degree day, and then 5 inches of snow. That's one of your pictures and one of your stories on the front page.
Well, on the front, we've got cross-country action from Mohawk. And then above that, we've got a picture from the Lake Waramog polar bear run, which sums up the weather contrast, because the people in the polar bear run are wearing shorts, and of course the cross country skiers are all zipped up in their ski suits. But the SWASA people really had to scramble to get that. To get the hill at Satre Hill ready. It was just nuts, and they worked super double overtime to get it done, and I think they deserve a lot of credit.
You know, I always say that the work they always do is always in bad weather to normal human beings. Either it's at night and it's 5 below and they're making snow, or else it's like it's 70 degrees and they have to worry how they're going to make the snow, or it's like when they had the opening ceremonies and it's 45 degrees and heavy rain. The show goes on with SWASA no matter what because of their volunteers. They really true, I call them sub-zero heroes.
Yeah, it's completely inverted. Yeah. What is a nice sign of spring to the normal citizen is the worst possible scenario for them.
All right, a couple of big stories on the front page, Patrick, and one that is probably a lot of people think a long time coming. Your story, first of all, the Region 1 has dropped masks, and of course, this is all depending on what happens in the future and with state mandates, but that I think this is a really good sign for the school system.
I was down at the high school yesterday watching a rehearsal of the musical, Into the Woods, which is another sign that things are getting back to normal. Mm-hmm. They're having it. And I would say of the 5 or 6 adults there and 20 or so students, I would say about between 2/3 and 3/4 of them were masked, but it wasn't consistent. You know, they take them off at times because they're doing a theater production and you have to see people's faces. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that means, but I noticed it while I was sitting there. And I saw the principal on the way out, and he said, Ian Strieber, and he said, you know, the thing they're really worried about at the moment is making sure that everybody respects everybody else.
Yep.
And nobody makes fun of somebody for, you know, still wearing a mask or whatever like that.
It's good practice.
Yeah, that was one of the part of the letter that Lisa Carter sent out. One of the directives that the region really wants to put out, not only to students but also to parents, that if somebody decides to wear a mask, fine, let them wear a mask. Don't mention anything about it. Let them do what they want to do. And if you're not wearing a mask, you don't want somebody coming up to you and disrespecting your choice. It's that time that's in between.
No, but it's also if you've done your research and you understand what's going on and you've made your choice, then really you don't need to debate it with anybody.
Yeah. So, but it's a big step forward in Region 1. And you know, you just have to give the administrators of not only Region 1, but all the school districts kudos. They've got enough problems as it is. And for the past year and a half, 2 years, they've had to deal with this problem as well. And just congratulations for them to get out of this. Now, I finally, and Patrick, you'll appreciate this, I've been trying to get a doctor from inside Sharon Hospital to come on the air with me for, and nobody wants to come on the air. I finally do have a doctor, and I won't say who it is going to come on the air with me next week. And then also we've got a forensic accountant who'll be coming on after that. But you have a terrific story, Janet and Patrick, about New Vance Health, the state, and doctors. It starts on the front page and goes in deep. It is a real deep dive and a real good look into what's going on between New Vance, the state, and local people.
Yeah, Cynthia's been working on that for a while. And and what kicked it off was the state announcing a second Office of Health Strategies investigation. So we figured the time was right. And you're right about getting the doctors to talk on the record. That took some doing, and Cynthia really excelled on that. And the interesting thing from my point of view was that when we pasted it up, the initial reaction was this thing is way too long. We've got to cut it. And we kept looking at it and looking at it and saying, no, actually, there's no flab in this at all. This is all, you know, on point. So we went with this massive story. The whole thing is such a mess that, you know, as a citizen reading this, you know, the first thing I've got to wonder is, who's actually in charge of this? How can they be so disorganized? You know, that's the best interpretation. And then you know, the Office of Health Strategies, if you've ever watched one of their meetings or gone to one of their presentations, that's not a body that moves with lightning speed either. And you know, again, speaking from the reader's point of view or the citizen's point of view, you know, I've got to wonder: are these people really taking this seriously? Because you know, we're here and we're all wondering: are we going to have a functioning hospital?
You know, you're absolutely right. I just happened to have some health problems over the past couple of months, and I've gone to the emergency room twice. And I said to myself, looking at this as this is unfolded, well, geez, what happens if what they're doing actually comes to pass? And I can imagine women who are pregnant feel the same way. What are our options going to be if some of this stuff comes to pass?
And we just had it with somebody else who was there, and it came to pass because there was no IC. The ability to take care of him was not there, so he absolutely had to go to Danbury.
Yeah, and that is a long drive, especially in winter weather. Dark hours, it's just a long way to go, and it makes a difference in how you're feeling. You're already in crisis. Your family.
Exactly right.
Yeah. This is what we're looking forward to, and I'm sure there are many listeners right now who have their own stories about this.
Well, I've got a link up to your story because I think everybody who lives in this area, whether if they buy the paper or they receive the paper at home, read the story. But if you know, go to the link, and you know what, subscribe if you have to, if you don't have five free stories or what left, because this is the first comprehensive story on this that's been done since this all was announced about a year ago. So this is an important story for people not only in Connecticut, but New York as well, to view.
That's true. It's a critical moment. Please read it. We'll talk about it again when we get to the editorial page.
All right. Now, got some other stories on the front page, and one is learn about Putin to understand Ukraine. Now, I know this is not a local story, but damn it, it is a local story because it's going to affect the way the world changes, Patrick.
Well, yeah, and we're very fortunate that we have a local expert, and in the form of Keith Moon at Hotchkiss, and I was looking it over again this morning, and I was thinking, I remember vividly my senior year of college in November of 1983 going down to the, we had a common room with a television then. We didn't have cable hookups in every room. And the whole dorm gathered to watch The Day After, which was a, yep, about an hour and a half or 2 hour television movie about a escalating Cold War tensions, and then the Russians nuke Kansas City and what happens afterwards. And you know, there was, nobody was drinking beer, nobody was cracking jokes. We had 40 young people sitting there watching it in silence. And it was, you know, it was a serious thing. And but to someone who was born in, say, 1990, the Cold War is a
relic,
just the latest little bit in the history book. And so this is awakening old unpleasant memories. And what's the reason I'm going to tune in for Keith Moon on this is that he has a lot to say about Putin, and particularly how Putin came to power, because he came to power after 10 years or so of a pretty chaotic period under Boris Yeltsin, who had many admirable qualities, but organizational ability was not one of them. And they were in serious danger of real anarchy, not pretend anarchy, but the real thing. And Putin pulled them out of that. And so if anybody's wondering why Putin continues to enjoy support within Russia, it's not just oligarchs. It's you know, ordinary people support Putin. And if you want to know why, I would suggest checking out this series with Keith Moon.
All right. I want to go to the analysis that is being written on a week-by-week basis about Connecticut's waste crisis. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here, Patrick?
Terry notes in his story that it seems almost inevitable that pay-as-you-throw is going to come up again. And Terry notes that they've rebranded it SMART, but that's not going to change the objections people have to it, which basically boils down to it penalizes people who, you know, through no fault of their own, generate more trash, people with families. Of course, there's another side to that, which is that somebody like me, who generates one bag of trash a week, why do I get nicked for the full transfer station sticker price? You know, you can argue with that one both ways. But I often cover the Northwest Hills Council of Governments meetings, and that mirrors the whole waste thing, the transfer station, the trash to energy facility closing in Hartford. This has been at the top of their agenda for some time now, and every member except Kent, who isn't in MIRA, they have been unanimous in their criticism of the lack of state leadership on this. And yesterday, the news came out that Mira's going to keep burning trash at the Hartford facility for some unspecified period of time as they start winding it down. And the commissioner of the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection didn't have anything to say about it. So, you know, speaking of not looking like they're real organized, well, this doesn't look very organized either.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Now, Janet, you have a new freelance journalist that has joined the crew.
We do, and actually I'll let Patrick talk about this because he found Matthew Kreta of Sharon and offered him the chance to write for us, and here we are. So, Patrick, by all means.
I've been buttonholing everybody I run across, saying, do you know anybody who's underemployed and or just wants to take a shot at it? And a neighbor of mine thought of Matthew, and he has worked out very well. He's got a great work ethic, and he's naturally curious, and he can write a simple declarative sentence, which brings joy to my heart.
And he dresses up. Don't miss that photo of him on the front page.
That I don't think he looks like that on a regular basis.
I want to get to the small story that's inside here, and that is the fire victims in North Canaan. There's a GoFundMe page to help them. They're trying to raise about $10,000. We've just had a string of these fires in our tri-state region this winter.
We have. Thank God that this one did not result in injuries, but it's devastating to the family. Mm-hmm. You know, to say the home is not completely destroyed, well, you know, they can't live in it. And so there are GoFundMe fundraisers, and you can take gift cards to Great Falls Brewing Company in North Canaan to support them. Please do read that and support this family.
It was nice to getting back to normal with these races and everything, to see once again the 40th student recital, the open recital that happened at the Salisbury Congregational Church this past weekend as well.
Oh, isn't it great? What an incredible tradition to see these students who are so talented and work so hard and come out to perform, some for the first time before a pretty good crowd. And so, actually, this is a Matthew Kreta story, and he is the perfect one to write about this because he's a musician and a singer, too. And so read this because he has a take on it that will show you the depth of what these kids are doing.
And I want to, we only, hard to believe, but we only have about 5 minutes left this morning before I want to.
That's okay. Buy the paper, everybody.
We like to hit on the stories, but you know what? Read the stories and be informed. Let's go to.
No, buy the paper.
Let's go to the editorial opinion page. And a very strong editorial, time to take strong action on the hospital.
That's right. You know, because of the story that Cynthia was able to pull together with having multiple physicians on the record about what's happening at Sharon Hospital, we felt it was time to take a strong stand on how we feel about it and what should happen next. So do read this one. The way Nuvance has handled the strategy for the hospital, you know, it's a nonprofit, but we look back at what Essent did as a for-profit, and they put more into the hospital than Nuvance has put into it since they've been the hospital's ownership. So think about what's happening. If anyone has had to use the services of the hospital, especially the ER or the ICU or labor and delivery, think about what that's meant to you, and let your leaders know how you feel about it. Do read the editorial, and also we have a couple of letters about this, one from Victor Jermak, who has been working on this since the hospital was taken over by Essent. And so he really has a depth of knowledge about this. Read his letter. It's an excellent background on the hospital and what should happen next, and the letter from Lydia Moore as well.
And Victor will be coming on the air with me in the next week or so, along with the doctor from the Sharon Hospital, to go on air and give two different versions of their idea of what's going on. Victor, of course, a terrific forensic accountant, knows the business side of it, knows the hospital that way, and a doctor from within who can speak about what's going on inside the hospital. That's the most important thing that I think people have to know. And it's nice that you have these. Once again, the letters to the editor section is just such an important part of a local newspaper.
That's right. And right, it's taking up a lot of our viewpoint and opinion pages this week. We welcome that. We like it. Charlie Kyle is writing about the need for a peaceful world with neutral nations, a response, of course, to the invasion of Ukraine, and Kathy Harold Marlowe and Sharon, same thing, talking about Putin and what's happening in Europe right now. So it will affect us. It is right now, whether we know it or not, so we need to all be aware. And really good column from Barbara Bettigol, who's been writing guest commentary for us on making less garbage. And she's the expert on that, being the chair of the Transfer Station Advisory Committee and a certified UConn master composter. And she talks about zero waste, which is, you know, a philosophy and design principle that has standards, and she describes what they are, and this is something we should all be thinking about.
I know that over the years, I separate my recyclables now, and I actually, even with my regular garbage, any food garbage or anything goes into one section, and then just regular garbage goes in another section. And I've pared it down to, I think I have three or four bags of garbage a week.
Right, all separated out. Don't miss the story about Cornwall's talking about their approach to recycling, and which is in the pages this week, because they talk about the fact that it can be more costly to pull food waste out of the garbage part than to just keep it as part of the garbage. Doesn't mean that it's not responsible environmentally or anything like that, but they're analyzing this from every angle. And so don't miss those stories in, the paper this week that come from the towns and their town meeting.
In Compass, you go from pudding to coronation chicken to also covering different events that are coming up.
That's right, which it is great to know there are different events coming up. We're more open than we were. Cynthia has a great cooking story, and it is based on coronation chicken. Some of our listeners may know what that is. I certainly did not, but it is based on the chicken that was served at Queen Elizabeth's coronation luncheon. And beautiful picture of it. It makes it look extremely appetizing, and quite the explanation from Cynthia on how to do it, why do it that way, and what pudding means to the Brits and should mean to us.
All right. Well, there's plenty of stories in the Lakeville Journal and the Millerton News. You can find them at tricornernews.com. Also, buy the newspaper. It's at newsstands throughout the region, or you can get a home delivery as well. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you. Don't miss the Millerton News this week. Really good stories in there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
that's
you.
Patrick Sullivan and, of course, Janet Manco from the Lakeville Journal. With This Week in the Lakeville Journal, once again available at tricornernews.com.